Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Gospel this morning from Matthew chapter 11. At that time, Jesus continued, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from clever and learned people and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, because this was pleasing to you. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends, are you tired today? We had about 25 people here working yesterday who could attest to that. A hot morning, pulling weeds and doing all kinds of stuff. What a great blessing to have those willing to beautify our campus a little bit. Another thing about living life is when you become an adult, you realize that pretty much every day is filled with exhaustion. I don't think I'm wrong about that one. 1/3 of Americans get fewer than 6 hours of sleep a night, according to something I recently heard. You know what the CDC recommends, suggests for sleep a night? 7, if not 8, full hours of sleep. A lot of you getting that? Maybe not. It seems we're pulled in all different directions every day. Even now, we're kind of used to the whole shelter-in-place idea, being mobile, moving around, maybe figuring out how to fill our day. And it doesn't matter what the activity is. There's children's activities, grandchildren's activities to keep up with. There's work obligations. There's church obligations. There's friendships and people you know are in need. There's hobbies. There's all kinds of activities. And I'm willing to guess that not everyone here is super well rested. Maybe you got a chance to go on a vacation. But a lot of times what I hear when people come back from vacation is, I need a vacation from my vacation. Maybe you're retired, but oftentimes what I hear from retired people is, I'm busier than I ever was. There are a lot of things that cloud our schedules, a lot of activities, a lot of things that make us tired. Americans are busy. Add to that the stressors of life. You've got job, you've got social pressures, you've got family life, you've got obligations, you've got politics, you've got a vote coming up, and as if we needed more drama in our lives, that seeps its way into our relationships and into our families. Do you have enough drama in your life? Are things staying nice and busy, but meanwhile crushing your soul? Maybe now more than ever, that saying feels true. There is no rest for the weary. But Jesus, today, in our lesson, disagrees. Jesus says, there is a rest for the weary. Jesus says, there is a peace that transcends understanding. There is refuge from the storm. There is a place to go when life piles up. There is a respite and a comfort when your sins mount. Jesus invites us to come and learn this rest. He says, without casting anyone out, come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. I think if I saw Jesus say this, what it looks like in my mind's eye is outstretched arms. offering himself. Come, all who are weary and burdened. And what does he promise? He says, I will give you rest. Jesus assures rest for the weary. That's what Jesus does. That's what our Savior God is for. He gives rest. The rest is more than a physical rest. The rest is more than a quarantine from a flurry of activities. The rest is more than a nice, relaxing 8 full hours of sleep at night. The rest is something that releases burdens on our heart. The burdens of sin. It's the burden of knowing that every single day we prove we don't deserve to stand in the presence of a holy God. The burden of knowing that sin separates us from him and we have no business approaching his altar. The burden of being conscious of who we are. And we have a conscience that makes us ever so conscious of that. Every day, we deserve to be thrown out of his presence forever. Now, if you just look at how Jesus divides people up with these words, at first, it sure seems like he doesn't divide anybody up. He says, come unto me all. All. He doesn't say those of a certain social status or class or skin color, those who've achieved a certain number of prerequisite courses, those who are in this or that profession, those who are this tall and no shorter, those who are of this weight, those who are of this body mass index. Jesus doesn't say any of that. He says, come unto me all. But he goes on, he says, who are weary and burdened. Now, if you are just fine with life, maybe that's where Jesus isn't inviting you. If you think things are good and life should just go on as is, if death never strikes fear into your heart, if your sins don't weigh a burden of guilt on you, well, then maybe Jesus isn't talking to you, because you may have no need for these words and you would have no need for Jesus. You'd fit in with the wise and the learned or the clever that we heard before he says, come unto me all you who are weary and burdened. Those are the people to whom God has concealed salvation. To them, salvation is hidden because their sins don't affect them. And to them, they're comfortable with the way things are. But if you're looking for a shoulder, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for rest, if you're looking for release, then you've come to the right place. Our Lutheran confessions love this verse. They quote Matthew 11:28 a few times, as well as Matthew 11:27. The Apology to the Augsburg Confession says, to come to Christ is to believe that sins are remitted for Christ's sake. The labor and burden signify the contrition, anxiety, and terrors of sin and death. We know this is what our sin does, separating us from God, but we know this is what Jesus does. He reconnects us. He puts our relationship with God back into a right status and tenderly invites us to come to him. He soothes our aches and pains. He binds up our wounds. And he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. Because he's claimed us. He's laid a claim on us with 3 other words that he spoke from the cross. It is finished. He's proved to us that we are his, that we belong to him in our baptisms, in word and sacrament. He reminds us of that over and over again. And he wants each and every one here to know he is a place of rest. He is a person who offers you complete release from all of your woes, all of your guilt, all of your burdens of this life. Because now Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You ever look back on the sins of your youth? The old pranks and lies. Maybe sometimes you think back on those things and it might nag your conscience. You kick yourself. How could I have been so mean? How could I have been so foolish? How could I have been such a bully? And Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Your past, it's gone. It's been spoken. It's been committed. But it's been absorbed into the cross of Christ. Hold on to Jesus Christ, and your past is erased. It looks a lot more like perfection because your past has been replaced with Jesus, who gives you his yoke of peace, which is really hardly any yoke at all. It's the burden of trust. Ever look ahead to what comes? Does fear grip your hearts? Do you worry for this generation and for the next one after that and for the next one after that? Does this world seem to threaten all that you've built and achieved and assisted in your life? Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. That includes all you who worry and fear and look ahead to what's coming. Do not take your eyes off the grand prize that is yours already. Jesus wants you to know. Everything is paid for in the past, and you have a citizenship in heaven that nothing and no one can take away from you. You ever feel bombarded by Satan's temptation? God is a loving and good God until, man, life gets really hard and I find myself repeating that sin. Or committing that sin that I never thought I ever would? Where did that come from? Well, it was Satan creeping in like the devil does, like a thief, trying to sow the seeds that we'll learn about in the parable next week. What does Jesus say? Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. He's beat Satan. He's defeated him. He's conquered Satan. He's destroyed the whole kingdom of the devil, and every time the gospel is preached, that kingdom is further demolished, because that's what the Son of God does. And Jesus wants you to know that today. Has the hand of depression cast its dark shadow on you? Do you wake up in the morning wondering if you'll ever feel joy again? Does it contain you in your bed like chains? That's real. I've seen people deal with that. What does Jesus say to you? He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is a light in the darkness. Jesus is love for the lonely. Jesus wants you to be drawn into his kingdom and understand what it means for you, that there is joy to come, and our present sufferings can't even compare to what God has in store for us in heaven. After all, he dipped you into the waters of his baptism. He claimed you as his own child. And he wants you to be a part of his kingdom day in and day out. Has the spouse you shared your life with been taken away from you in death? And when everyone went home from the funeral and got back to normal, for you, there was no normal to get back to. Because you have a wound, and it continually stabs at you, and life is difficult. And maybe in this time, you weren't even allowed to have a funeral, or you weren't even allowed to invite very many people to the funeral, or there were restrictions, and you couldn't even grieve properly. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus knows the pain that death imparts. Jesus knows that sting, but death has lost its sting forever because Jesus has buried it. And you are now his people, and he is your God. And he wipes every tear away from your eyes because the old order of things has passed away. Trust Jesus when he says he has rest for the weary. Will you trust him? Won't you know that Jesus means what he says? And that Jesus is good for it. This promise in Jesus is true because of who Jesus is. It's really fascinating, actually, in verse 27. Just that first little sentence in verse 27 tells us a whole lot about Jesus. Everything that the Father has been entrusted to the Son. In our NIV translation, it said committed to the Son. It's been given over, would be a good literal translation for that. The everything also include Jesus' divine properties. Things committed to the Son by the Father. Martin Luther and his followers loved this verse. All things are entrusted to the Son by the Father, because he could prove from that that Jesus, according to his human nature, had all the this majesty of communication of attributes from God. Just bear with me. It gets a little complex, but I love this argument because he has four little points that Martin Chemnitz repeated in his big, lengthy volume on the person of Christ, on the two natures. Martin Luther said this. First of all, God cannot receive things. Things can't be given over to God. Things can't be entrusted to God. Does that make sense to you? He's God. He's already got things. So you can't give things to him. He doesn't receive things. The second part of Luther's argument, God would not give things to a mere man. He wouldn't do that. It would crush that mere person. No one can shoulder everything. Third, man cannot be over all things. We see them try. That's what politics is all about, right? But we see them fail every single time. Man cannot be over all things. And fourth, God cannot be under God. Doesn't make any sense. But if you add it all up, it's actually a glorious truth. It means that Jesus Christ is also true God. And according to his human nature, he can do what only God does. I'll give you some examples. He can quicken, make alive. He has judgment, all judgment. He has all power on earth. He has all things in his hands. He has all things in subjection beneath his feet. He cleanses from sin. These aren't created gifts. These are divine gifts that only Jesus can do. These have been given and communicated to the man, Jesus Christ. Martin Chemnitz writes, "This power showed itself fully and demonstrably in and through the assumed nature, his human nature, after he laid aside his infirmities, and thus the assumed nature was brought into a communion of full and manifest association with the divine power. Just as heated iron through its union with the fire comes to share in and use the power of giving heat and light." So in other words, if you compare it to like a heated piece of iron, like a sword, if you're trying to put a sword together, iron doesn't have light, but if you set it to fire, it glows and it gives light. Iron doesn't burn, but if you set it on fire so you can make something out of it, as it turns out, it can burn things. And the early Lutherans loved to talk about that comparison because that's kind of like Jesus' human nature. A human can't do all these things that Jesus does, but with all of these glorious things communicated to him by God, he has all divine power. It's all wrapped up there in the person of Christ. I'm not saying anyone understands that. I'm just saying it's a glorious truth. Because then we can come to Jesus when he speaks to us simply as little children and says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened." And we can know without a doubt that Jesus is good for it. His promise is clear. Everything belongs to him. It's been given to him, and he holds our past, our present, and our future in his hands. And you never have to worry. But you can bring everything to our Savior Jesus Christ because of the burden that he has taken on. He's already taken on your burden of sins. That's why the front of the bulletin looks like it does. What did Jesus bear for us? I'm not just talking about physical wood, nails, spear that pierced him through, but the suffering and sorrow and the burden of our guilt and sin. As a happy exchange, you and I receive the kind of freedom and faithfulness and purity that only Holy God has and gives and offers. So treat Jesus just as he wants you to. Come to him. Come to him. When you're told to come, know that he empowers you to pick up the pieces and go to him. Unload your sin on him and love like him. Know that when Jesus says, come to me. He is your book of life. If you just open them up, you'll find the pages. On those pages is your name written in the book of life. Released. Peace. All his compassion for you. Because that's what Jesus does. He gives rest. In his name, amen.